Well, thank you, Tamara and music team and everyone making worship possible this morning. We continue our series on the Beatitudes, and this morning we're looking at Blessed are the Merciful and Blessed are the Pure in Heart. Every week I'm reading the whole Beatitudes because I think it's something that really we can commit to our hearts and use as a guidepost for our lives. So we are in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, the disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who went before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, this morning we're looking at the Beatitudes. Blessed are the merciful and blessed are the pure in heart. I heard about this deacon and his son who were driving down a country road one day, and the dad looks over and saw this beautiful patch of melons, and so he pulls over the car, and even though it's the neighbor's melon patch, he said, "Son, just wait here for a minute." And he goes out into the field and he grabs a melon from the neighbor's melon patch, and then he calls over to his son. He said, "Okay, son, be careful and look both ways. Make sure no one's coming." And then the son called back. He said, "Dad, shouldn't we look up too?" You know, in our own lives, sometimes it's easy to forget that God is always looking down on us, but I think more importantly, calling us upward to look up. The Beatitudes challenges us to look up at the highest peak where Jesus gives us instructions for everyday life, what it's like to be like Christ. And we've been walking through these two at a time, and we've also said that Jesus lived out every single one of them, and so we challenge us to follow Jesus in our lives, particularly in this season of Lent. And so I said that one thing about this is the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, was given on the Mount of Beatitudes. There's a photo of it over here. It's a beautiful setting. It's a mount that looks out over the Sea of Galilee. There's a hill partway up. It's rather a flat field partway up. And then people can gather there, and then it slopes back up. It's sort of a natural amphitheater, and thousands of people can gather there. And it's just a breathtaking moment. And I think Jesus wanted to lift our hearts and minds. The Sermon on the Mount is less than 2,000 words, but has been called the most influential speech or sermon in all of history. And it's also very, very practical as well as poetic. And so today, we look at, first of all, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy." You know, someone once asked me what the difference between grace and mercy was, and I said, I think it's like this, that grace makes mercy possible. And it's been said that this beatitude right here, "Blessed are the merciful," is what we call an outflowing beatitude, right? And so some of the other ones are interior, but merciful is something that we show around us. It flows out from us from the change that's within our hearts and lives as God works within us. And so when we think about mercy, we think about the Greek word is really about compassion. So we have compassion on others. We have mercy on them. I think for a moment when I think about mercy, I think about Jesus' story of the Good Samaritan. Remember that when the attorney comes to Jesus and he asks him what the greatest command is, and Jesus said, "You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind." and your neighbor as yourself. And then the lawyer thought about that. He said, well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus responded with that parable of the Good Samaritan, remember, about this person who was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's a long, dusty, dangerous highway. And thieves fell upon him and robbed him, left him for dead. And he was laying beside the road in need of help. And he said, well, first, a priest came along. Now, we think, of course, it's a priest. He'll stop and help him. But he said, you know, the priest went by on the other side of the road. The next person was a Levite, an upstanding businessman. And he, we are told, looked at the person who was beside the road. And he had compassion, but he just kept on going. Sometimes that's like some of us. We want to keep our distance and look at those in need. But he said, along came a Samaritan. Now, you have to remember that Samaritans were enemies of the Jews, culturally, religiously, a long, deep-seated enmity there. And Jesus said, the Samaritan came along, and he saw the man. He had compassion on him. And he went over, and he tended his wounds. And then, after tending his wounds, he put him on his donkey and took him to an inn and then paid for his lodging and then told the innkeeper that if he had anything else that he was in need of, that he would pay more upon return. And then Jesus looked at that attorney and said, which man was a neighbor to the man? And the attorney said, the one who showed him mercy. Mercy. Mercy flows out from us. It's not just an attitude. It calls us to action. And I think something about mercy is many times you in our lives experience some challenge, some adversity, many times even some heartache and some heartbreak. And we can do one of two things. We can let our life become hardened and brittle and bitter, or we can allow our lives to become compassionate and caring and merciful. And you see two kinds of people many times when you look around. Many times the people who are merciful have been through all the challenges, all the difficulty, all the adversity, heartache, and heartbreak of other people, but they've allowed that to soften their heart, and because of that, out from their life flows mercy and compassion. Today, how are you doing with mercy, letting mercy flow out from your life? Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Now, of course, we all want mercy, but I think Jesus' emphasis on you and I showing mercy in our lives. There's lots of need in our world today, both in our neighborhood and our church, but also across our country and around our world. Are we the kind of people that are merciful, that are willing to show compassion, to let action into our compassion and show mercy in a tangible way? Blessed are the merciful. And the second one is, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Now, when I think about that, the pure in heart see God, I think you see God in two different ways. You see God in a very real sense that we come to know God in a deeper way. And I think the other thing, of course, we remember the promise of seeing God in eternity, but I think right here and now, we can see God, we can come to know God in a greater way. Now, the word for pure in heart, is the Greek word katharsis. And it's the word we get catharsis from, right? And so catharsis is sort of getting rid of the bad emotions, bad other things in our life. And it's really sort of two-pronged. The first is, of course, to get rid of the bad in our life. But the other one is to refine and purify, like a metal, like a precious metal that through testing and trial burns up the impurity until we become pure in heart. And there's a sense in that in which there's a singleness of quality in that. Now, the famous Danish philosopher by the name of Soren Kierkegaard famously wrote a book entitled Purity of Heart is to Will One Thing. Purity of heart is to will one thing. And I think that really resonates and rings true with this passage of Scripture today. Now, a lot of us today like to multitask. Would you agree? I mean, any multitasker. In fact, we take pride in multitasking. I see people with multiple computer screens, and they got a cell phone out and texting. I see multitasking drivers, which sometimes is scary out there, right? And I'm guilty of multitasking sometimes, too. In fact, sometimes on my phone, I'm sometimes carry on more than one text message series at a time. And one time, my sister was texting me, and then a friend was texting me as well. And my sister was texting me about something, and my friend was texting me about something else. And then my sister said, I love you, and I sent back, as I always do, I love you too, you know, triple exclamation point and, you know, yellow heart, and sent that to her, except that my friend had sent me a text sort of in the middle, and somehow that text to my sister went to my friend, you know, I love you too, triple exclamation point, yellow heart. So I quickly second back, I said, that was for somebody else. He said, that's okay, feeling the love, right? So I don't know. Sometimes we need to just kind of slow down and focus. In fact, I was watching this show that was on the History Channel. I don't know if you are fans of the Sklar brothers. I like these two brothers, and they do like statistical analysis of questions that we have every day that we kind of talk about, right, at the coffee shop or, you know, for lunch or whatever. But they'll go out and research it and do kind of a statistical analysis. And so they were talking about multitasking and how you actually get more done. And so one of the things they did was they went to NASCAR pit crews and asked them how they were so fast. And this pit crew shared, he said, you know, really, the secret to being fast is to slow down. And they said, what? What's that about? You know, when this just milliseconds matter. Coming in for the NASCAR races with the pit crew, change the tires, put the gas in, anything else needs to be done. And they said, yeah, you need to slow down to speed up. He said, well, explain that. He said, well, it's like this. You know, when that car comes in there, and everybody has their tire they got to get out. He said, you know, you have this really fast pneumatic wrench that's going to go on that nut. He said, if you miss that nut in your hurry and you spin it, you'll tear that nut up, and there's nothing we can do. He said, or if you put it on wrong, he said, that person can go out, the tire can come off, and you could cause an accident, even cause the loss of life. He said, what's important is to slow down, to speed up, to know your focus and to not multitask. And I think in our own lives, that's important too. How are you at slowing down in your life and sort of being single-hearted about serving God, to allow that purity, to allow God to refine our lives in a way that makes an incredible difference in our lives? Purity of heart is to will one thing. Now, a movie that I like is an old movie, but I don't know if you're any Billy Crystal fans out there, but sort of, yeah, he's great. And one of my favorite movies, actually the favorite movie of Billy Crystal, is City Slickers. And in City Slickers, Billy Crystal and his friends, they're kind of these Manhattan business people, and they're in sort of this midlife crisis mode, and they decide what they need to do is all the guys need to go away and to go on this cattle drive, right? And so it's kind of crazy because they're from the city, but they're going to go on this cattle drive. So they get on this cattle drive, and it's a real cattle drive. You know, they're out in Texas, and they're taking the cattle, but they allow people to come and sort of learn the whole thing. And they didn't even rode a horse before. And so, but there's this the lead cattle rancher guy leading the cattle drive is this sort of macho hombre guy, weathered, and he's always sort of cool, and he always is wise. He's always, you know, he's not in a hurry, and he just seems to be focused and so at peace with life. And so they're always looking at this guy, saying, man, this guy is just amazing. How does he do it? And he's teaching them all these things, and he just seems to be okay. And then so one day, Billy Crystal goes to this guy and says, what is the secret to life? And after a while, the guy says, one thing. And Billy Crystal says, well, what's the one thing? And he says, one thing. So what's the one thing? He says, I don't know what it's for you, but you have to find it for you. For me, it's this, driving cattle. And he says, when you find it, you'll know. And so Billy Crystal is kind of going the rest of the movie, sort of figuring out what that one thing is. I don't know what you're doing in terms of multitasking, but what's the one thing that guides everything else in life? Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be given to you. The one thing, the purity of heart, is to seek God's will, to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love neighbor as ourself. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Just today, in this moment, to focus on that singleness of heart and God, and you will see and experience and know God in a whole new way. Well, each of these is really a challenge, and we've walked through two at a time. We've got two more next week, but I just challenge you to think about your life and how you're doing. And I know when you look at this mount, it really is a mount as we look up. But Stephen Covey, the great person who wrote Seven Habits of Highly Successful People, he said, you know, I've known lots of people in their life who were striving with everything they could to get up the ladder of success, only to get to the top of the ladder late in life and to find out that the ladder was leaning against the wrong wall. And I think if you look at the Beatitudes and you strive to put your ladder up there and climb that mount, that wall, that at the end of the day, you will know that you were climbing the ladder leaned up against the right wall. Today, after the second service, Savannah and I go to pay honor and be part of a service for a very dear friend of mine who accomplished all kinds of things in his life. Just amazing. But vice president of three colleges and president of foundation at Purdue and at IU, sorry about that. But the greatest thing that could be said about him is that he always had time for people. He was never in a hurry. Always had time for people, always had time for his faith, always faithful to his church, always faithful to people that he loved. Because he knew that whatever else there was in life, that having the highest aspiration is to serve God and to love God and neighbor. And I know that he had no regrets. Today we can say, well done, even as God has already said, well done. Where will you be when you get to the top of your ladder and you strive with everything you have? Will you know that your ladder is against the right wall? I think if you look up at the mountain and you hear the words of Jesus as Jesus challenges us to lift up and to climb up, that you will discover the truest purpose in life. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart. They will see God. Amen. Lord, as we think about today and your challenge for us to be lifted higher by these Beatitudes, Lord, help them to be our attitudes. And we know that we can't do it in and of ourselves, but we can do it through the power of your Holy Spirit and the power that you change our heart with, which is your love. So thank you for your great love for us. Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us to follow you step by step along your way. We pray this in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen.